is good to be in the house of the Lord. A few days ago, I was listening to somebody preach, and excuse my voice, I don't know what happened, but I was okay this morning, so amen. it'll be okay. Yeah, he'll do that, that's right. Amen. But, you know, I was listening to this guy preach, and he's an older guy, and he's been in ministry a long time. And he was saying when he was younger, a younger pastor or preacher, he was saying he went to preach at this local church. And, you know, back then, and we've lost this in the church, back then when they went to preach at churches, they stayed 3, 4, 5 weeks and preached.
Could you imagine coming here every day for weeks?
You're lucky if we get 3 days now. And we wonder why the power of the Holy Spirit is not evident like we used to see it years ago. And you remember that, huh, Doug? Yeah. He grew up Pentecostal, so he knows those things. But he was saying that, you know, he went to preach at this church, and, you know, as he, you know, you get there, you really don't know anybody, you know, you just know maybe the pastor a little bit, and he gets there and he starts preaching. And he notices this one elderly lady that would come every night. And he said, as I would see her walk in, it would just bring some kind of confidence in his heart and spirit, knowing that she was there. Now, he said, I've never really met her before. I don't really know her. I mean, these are all new people. But he said, day after day, she'd come in. And he said, you can sense and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit upon this lady's life. You know, that's just, that's just God doing what he wants to do. But you know her, you know, she would pray and seek God, and the anointing of God was just upon her. But he said, as I would see her, it would just bring confidence in me to preach the gospel more boldly than ever before. Just seeing her come in. You know, and he thought in his mind, he said, this must be a lady that grew up in church. You know, just thinking in his mind, this must be somebody that maybe her father might be a pastor or was a pastor. You know, something like, she just grew up in church and whatever. As time went on, because he stayed for weeks, one day as they were having prayer one day, the pastor comes up to him and says, you know that lady that you see? He said, oh yeah. He said, man, that's a godly woman. And definitely she was. He said, but you don't know her story. He said, no, I don't. He said, before she got saved, she ran a prostitution house.
And the kids just leave.
Called a madam, you know, all that stuff. Okay, we get the picture, okay?
No, please explain.
Okay. He said, that's what she ran. But one day, somebody preached the word to her, and she got saved. And she left it.
Should have said that.
See, you might say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? God can turn Amy's life around for the kingdom of God. He can take a life that's on the road of skid row of hell, which we all were, and turn it around. And we wouldn't think of that of her as he was explaining the story about her. You see, we don't know what God can do in any and everyone's life. That's why it's so important for us to share the gospel with people. Don't be silent.
B-R-U-N.
The church has been silent too long, and where has it gotten us? Look where we are.
Yeah.
As the whole body of Christ. You know, this week at work, you know, in the morning we have a break. It's like 10 minutes or so. We have to take it. I mean, that's just by law. And with the union, we have to take it. So, you know, at that break, when they say, we all go, and whatever. And they were talking about death. They were saying, man, a lot of people are dying. Man, everybody's taking off to go to a funeral. And I'm thinking, yeah, some are saying the truth and some aren't, you know. But, you know, whatever. And I said, you know, people said, yeah, you know, everybody's dying. Okay. And so one guy, he said, you know, when I die, I'm going to just be in that dirt. I'm going to just turn over the dirt. And you know, I mean, if they want to talk about death, that's okay. All right. And I said, you know what? And he got quiet. Because none of them know that I'm a preacher. They don't know. That I know of. See that? Except one, because she goes to church and we kind of talk. But they really don't know. No one has ever come to me and said, oh, you're a pastor? None of them. Because I don't want that to go forth. I mean, I'm not ashamed of being a pastor. That's not it. But I want them to know I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm Christ-like. So when you say he's going to turn over the dirt, I said, oh, my God. How long stories? I said, you know, I said, when we die and we go into that dirt, I said, we all have to meet our maker. And look, there's about 15 people, mostly, maybe two ladies, all the rest guys, about 15 or so. I said, when we die, we got to meet our maker. I said, we better make sure things are right between us and him. And I said, by the way, the only door to get to heaven is Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Silent. I mean, it's like, oh my God. And one guy sitting there, we kind of joke, he kind of stands up, he said, whew, that's powerful. I said, that's truth. He said, man, what happened was the Spirit of God hit him. And after a few seconds or so, that was it, and everybody started talking about whatever. But let me tell you, church, be bold. Don't back up from the truth. Now, you don't have to be rude. There's a difference between being rude, but be bold. And stand up for the truth of the gospel. Stand up. And how God can move upon people's lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Before we read Acts chapter 16, we're going to read that first. Just go to Acts chapter 16. Go to that. But in the book of Philippians, which we know it's Paul, you know, that was writing or addressing the Christian church in Philippi. Remember, all these letters are letters to churches. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those are actual letters that were written, okay, to an actual church there. And most of these churches that he's writing to are churches that Paul, through the ministry of Paul the Apostle, set up these churches, started these churches, raised up pastors. And he would start them, raise up the believers, raise up pastors and leaders to take these churches and to lead them in the right direction. And Paul, these letters were written to these churches to keep them on the right track of doing the right thing all the time. Because you see, the letter to the Galatians, Ephesians, is basically different from the Philippian church. Because there were different problems in each church. And there were people that would come in and try to persuade them that Jesus wasn't the only way. But we know that that's not true, that he is the only way. And so the Philippian church, he was writing to them to help them to keep on track. But Paul, we know, was put and placed in prison because of his faith and because of what he preached about Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, look at this. And I know we've read this many, many times. Look at verse 22. It says, and the multitude rose together against him. Now, who did they rise up against? They rose up against Paul and Silas. Okay? They were preaching what they were doing. They were preaching the gospel. So look, don't feel when you stand up for truth that everything's going to be okay. People are going to rise up against you. if you're preaching the truth, old Sleuthfoot, Lucifer, will rise up against you by using people or different circumstances. But this is it. You stand for what is right and truth. Because when you do what's right, like Paul and Silas, God moves upon their behalf. When you stand for truth and you preach the gospel, God will move on your behalf and do great and mighty things, not backing up from what is truth or right. It says this, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. That means they got so mad, these leaders, at Paul and Silas, that they took off, they ripped off their clothes, not the magistrates' clothes. They ripped off Paul and Silas's clothes. Most scholars believe that they ripped off most of their clothes up to their waist. You know, and back then, they wore clothes and they wore like a garment over it. So they took the outer garment and they took most of the inner garment from up to their waist. They were so mad at them. But I said, well, why did they do that? There's a reason. And commanded to beat them. What they did was they were so mad at Paul and Silas because they were standing for truth. They were saying that Jesus was the way, the only way, and no other way. And they had many gods in their cities. They built many temples to their gods. Even one place, they built a god to the unknown god just to make sure they covered it all. That's man. But they took their clothes off up to their waist and they started to beat them, scourging them, which was not a pleasant feeling. But look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, talking about upon whom? Paul and Silas. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, we'll read the last verse, verse 24. Here we have two men standing up for truth. And we have evil people beating them. Even in the beating of their backs, their faith grew in God.
One of the fans is making a lot of noise.
Sometimes, sure. Even through our hardest struggles, and it's not easy sometimes.
I don't know where those cameras come from.
God knows our faith.
That's good.
The powers of hell are coming from the outside.
They just slow down.
Bombarding the mind sometimes, huh?
Sounds like the fourth end.
That's an oppression.
Like the
remember this. Just the bar note on this. As a Christian, you invited God to, you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. You
live inside of Him.
No Christian can be demon possessed. There's no way possible. No way possible. And people get that mix as a Christian, though, living for God. Now, there's no way possible. Now, you can be oppressed from the outside, and that's what the devil does. Oppresses from the outside. But we have a God that protects us, too. And he oppresses, the devil oppresses from the outside. And a lot of times, we know this, because of the book of Job, that God has everything ordered under his plan. And what he wants to do, he can do. And what he allows, he allows. He is in control. God is in control.
Amen.
And the devil may oppress from the outside. But a lot of times, this is what's happening. God will allow that to happen because he's working on the inside. And it's like we don't know how we're going to stand tomorrow. But we say, Lord, put my faith in you.
It's not the...
I put my faith in you, Lord. And God is working on the inside. And old Slewfoot, he can't see what's happening on the inside. But the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our God, knows what's going on. It says that he works all things what for our good as Christians. And what may be happening on the outside with the enemy trying to destroy us, God is working on the inside to make us a kingdom. Not the king. Don't get me wrong. No. But to build us up so we can do the work of the Father. The work of him. It says this, that they took these two guys and they beat them severely. Who has, in verse 24, they cast them in jail, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now we know it wasn't a pleasant thing because they put them in the inner prison, which was for the worst criminals. And we know that they were not the worst criminals. And they spread their legs apart to bring pain to their bodies. And had them chained to that floor and to the wall. But look at this. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 14. It says this. See, sometimes, maybe a lot of times,
still there.
God will let us go through things not just for us. Not just for us, but to help other people and to build them up sometimes. To build them up sometimes. That's right. Look at this. Verse 14. It says this, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You might say, what is he saying? Paul's example of suffering and pain gave Christians boldness to speak God's word. Our example encourages others to be bold and not to falter. Look at this. Let me read it again, verse 14. Talking about Paul. It says, and many of the brethren, that means many of the Christians, many of the other people that are believing God like never before in the Lord, they are waxing. That means they are confident by my bonds. That means the bonds that he was in, the jail that he was in, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What Paul was going through, God was using to help the body of Christ to be bold to speak the word of God like never before. The struggles that Paul went through as he was in jail writing letters to the churches. Can you imagine? Roughly, why wasn't Paul thinking about himself saying, Christians, why aren't you coming to help me? But his outlook was, God, you're in control. You know where I am. Writing letters to churches, building them up. And those churches, knowing that Paul's in prison, in chains, in stocks, hurting and in pain, it built up the church. Your suffering sometimes, or what you go through, helps other people to believe that God is in control and God can do all things. The power and the presence of God upon him helped them to have boldness to preach the gospel. What has happened in the last 30 years for the church is that there's no boldness to preach the gospel. My God! And look where it has led us. Because the pulpit didn't preach, or the pastors behind the pulpit. And I'll take on that blame too.
I really hope it's not like this.
That we didn't preach what needed to be preached, what God can do, to trust in him. That we have a church, the body of believers throughout the world. Most don't even know what the power of God is. Most don't know what it is to be healed by God. Most don't even know what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. My God, the power of the Holy Ghost. Most churches will run you out of their church if they hear you speaking in tongues. Oh, you hear them. Oh, we believe in the Holy Ghost, but start speaking in tongues and let's see what happens. Raise your hand. My God, they'll throw you out. How sad is that? I said, well, not everybody believes the same thing. That's right. But if it's in the Word, we have to believe it. God filled the church on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. God has given the Holy Spirit to the church. That's the power. Without the power, you have nothing. Without God, you're nothing. We need the presence and the power of God. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. My God, get in the Scriptures and find out where it says about being filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 or 3 and in Acts chapter 10. How God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And it is for today. And say, Lord, fill me. I remember getting saved. Two or three months later, going to be water baptized. And I remember as we were driving home, I turned to my mom, I was only 15, said, I feel something here. Mom said, well, it could be the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. I remember that night, laying in my bed, and I said, Lord, I believe. I don't understand it. I mean, we grew up Catholic, by God. We had one Bible, one big Bible that nobody read. It was on the shelf, though. Beautiful, beautiful Bible. Laid down and said, Lord, I don't understand.
But I crazy ticket.
And all of a sudden, started speaking in tongues. No one laid hands on me, and there's nothing wrong with people laying hands on me. There's nothing wrong with it. Just submit. Some of you are yearning for the Holy Spirit. You need to keep yearning. You need to keep asking. Say, Lord, fill me. It's for the church today. That's your power. The devil doesn't want you to have the power because he's defeated. Every time you speak it in tongues, you're speaking, it says in the Word of God, mysteries unto your God. My God, the mysteries, the prayers unto your God. My God. Now, I don't want you to go to Larry's or Walmart and start speaking in tongues. My God, they'll think you're crazy. Don't do that. That's not proper. There's a proper way of doing things. The buddy, when you're in your car, you're in your house or whatever, or you're in church, there's ways. Let that prayer language come forth out of you. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues, my God. Let that prayer language come out of you. Let it flow out of your spirit. Let it flow out of your innermost being. Let it flow out of you. And God will fill you with boldness to preach his gospel. You might say, what is preaching? Is just heralding the word of God forth unto other people. Telling them about Jesus, the Savior of the world. Praise God. Praise God. Let that come forth out of your mouth. Pray it. Pray it. It says that, you know, the church grew so much when, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the church grew. Because they were not ashamed. But they took the word forth, and they didn't care. As Paul and Silas didn't care, they were beaten. Because that boldness led to helping other people. Now look at another scripture. It says this in Philippians chapter 1. And I know you know this scripture, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And we know this. We have this confidence of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in us, trying to grow Christ in us, it began when we got saved. That was the major work. He started earlier than that because he kept drawing us by his Spirit. But being confident of this, but that he, not me, Not the church, not a pastor, not your spouse, not your children, none of that. None of that. But he, which has begun a good work. And when he has begun the good work in us, that means he has to take care of the work in us. See? So he that has begun a good work in us takes care of the work that is being done. I'd say, well, what kind of work does he do? Well, he takes things out. You know, we have many insecurities. Not us. God gives us boldness, people. It's okay. But you see, God keeps working. He takes out that anger. Some people are angry with their parents, angry with who or this or whatever. God takes all that out. Sometimes we've been hurt by spouses or people or things. God works on that. It's an amazing thing. The work never ends. When we think, oh God, I finally made it. The Holy Spirit kind of said, Joe, look at this. Oh Lord. Okay. Why do you have to point this out? But he works a good work in us. And let me tell you, what is an amazing thing is this. Our God is patient with us. He's patient. He starts working in those areas that needs to be worked in. And sometimes he has to hibernate on a situation. You might say, what do you mean hibernate? You know, like a bear hibernates for the winter? Well, sometimes God has to hibernate on a problem for the whole winter in our hearts and lives. I'd say, is that wrong? No. We just keep letting him work. Because you see, the entanglements of man, the things that we have in our hearts and lives, sometimes it takes a long time. Not that God can't do it or heal it in an instant, but sometimes we can't take it in an instant. And it takes God a while for the Holy Spirit to bring about the manifestation of that healing or that help or that deliverance of whatever it may be. But you see, we got to be willing to stay there and let the Holy Spirit work at his will within our hearts. And as we are standing there and the boldness of God is in our hearts and in our lives, we have to trust that what God is doing, he is taking care of. And as we trust him, our faith grows in him. Our past test, he will not come with a less struggle. The only way to get our faith to grow is to keep pushing. Each test gets stronger and stronger. And you might say, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen to this. When somebody starts to lift weights, for an example, you know, they're not going to start lifting, 100 pounds on one side. This is not going to happen, you know, unless they're very strong at the time. But what's going to happen is, as people start to lift weights, however, they might lift 20 pounds or whatever. And as they get used to that and their endurance grows, they add more weights, maybe another 5 pounds to it, 30, whatever. And it keeps going on and on. Well, that's just like God. Things happen and tests come our way. And God will let these things come our way to build our faith in him. Now, some things, honestly, I don't want to go through. Some things I don't want to do.
His connection to the Lord.
And I know you too. There's some things you don't want to go through. There's some tests you don't want to go through. But God will allow that in our hearts and lives to build our faith in him. How do you think Paul and Silas could go through that beating and yet still come out praising God?
Which is ridiculous.
Because of what they went through before that. The struggles and the things they went through. The God building them up and them seeing God move upon their behalf in ways that they never thought possible. But you see, we got to keep trusting God and letting God move at his will. And what the greatest thing is this, each test that we go through, and I know you may not want to hear this, that it gets stronger and stronger. That's because you passed the test. And God is giving your faith greater and greater. The test comes from the outside. Faith comes from inside. Ah. And God is building that faith in us to believe. We've been here 5 years, going on six. When we first came, there were things that I could not believe God for. There's no way possible. I knew it. So God wouldn't let me believe the things that He knew I could not believe Him for. But there are things today that I'm believing God for that far outweighs what I ever could imagine or dreamed. And that's because test after struggle, seeing God move, our faith building, we can believe for the impossible in certain situations. And that's just in ministry, but that's your ministry too. And that's your own personal life also too, to believe God for the impossible. Look at this. Almost ready to close. He will not allow you to stay where you are. And we love to stay where we are and just kind of plateau, huh? It's easy. We want a plateau. Oh, God, this is, oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nobody's messing around me. Everything's clear as far as I can see. And we plateau it. But we don't realize as we are plateauing for our own personal lives, we're drifting little by little back. And we don't even know it. And so God will allow some things to, not that He brings it, but He will allow things to come, another test, another trial, something. So that we kind of go, okay, the plateau is not there anymore. And so, God, we got to believe a little higher. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. And so we got to believe Him for a little higher level. Remember, whatever test God is for you, He's working all things out for your good if you trust and rely on Him. Tests are for our good. We don't like them, but they are for our good. Some things we don't want to yield to Him. But if we want to grow and accomplish His purpose in our lives, we must trust Him. God has a will and a purpose for our lives. He wants to grow our faith because He knows the greater degree of trust in Him, the more He will be able to do through you, in you, and for you, as well as for the kingdom of God. He's trying to build Himself to go beyond measure. Because you see, He's not just building you up to have greater faith just for you, but it's for the kingdom of God. And in Revelation chapter 3, this is the last verse, verse 12, Revelation 3:12, it says this. Be confident of this very... Oh, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, Andrew. Is it coming?
Nope. Try to get... Go to this one, and then go back to that one.
There it is.
I could have looked it up, but... Okay. That's good. Revelation 3:12, it says this. He who overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now I'll just stop there. God is trying to build us up as we trust in Him. And there's a reason. To make us pillars in the house of God. A pillar is one that will stand no matter what. You know, when I built my home, I didn't put a slab on my wood on pillars. And it was like, but everywhere, you know, there's a pillar that the house would go on. It's like 55 or 60, 65, something like that underneath the house. So what I did was, everywhere the pillar would go, what I did was make it 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot deep pillar that it would go on, cement. So that it would not tilt or, you know, because you have, if you have it just on the ground, it will start to lean over, you know, just give some, so, you know, just to make it firm. That's a pillar. God is trying to make each and every one a pillar in the house of God. You might say, well, what if that means that whenever anything happens, that it stands strong, no matter what. That the winds may come, but it stands. The waters may rise, it stands. The snow comes, the heat comes, everything comes from the outward natural, but yet it still stands firm. That it won't move up. Now, it may get weathered out, you know, on the outside, but it stands no matter what. God wants to make each and every one of you a pillar in the house of Him. And it can only be done by the Spirit of the living God. And letting Him work in us and through us. As we trust, as we go through things, God helps us be stronger than ever before. Amen. Would you please stand? Amen. Praise God. I know I went over a little bit, and I thank you for your patience. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for today. As every head is bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, if you will, I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, your Savior? If you haven't, would you please raise your hand and you say, look, I need Jesus. I need Him in my life. And, you know, I just want to make sure. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your church. I thank you for your people. And Lord God, I pray that your anointing and your Spirit would rest upon them. Father, help us to be a church, Lord God, that is strong for you, that will stand with boldness no matter what, Lord. Father, I pray your protection upon the people as they go to work, as they travel to work, travel back home. Lord God, as they are at work, that they will stand for truth and do what's right, Lord. And Father, Lord, I come against the enemy, Lord God, that try to bring bombardment upon their lives. But Father, you will be with them. Your anointing will rest upon them, and your Spirit will be with them. Father, protect them, lead them, and guide them, and be with them. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, love you, and we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you.